Now, real people, real opinions, Nighttime Talk.
Ireland's classic hits radio.
First up tonight is marriage. It came up in our topic about family last night, and Niall says that he believes that marriage is still very important. I want you to have a listen to what happened last night, just in case you missed it.
Do you think the decline in marriage, because there is a decline in marriage, and that commitment between two people, do you think that's having an effect on it?
Decline in marriage. It's an indisputable fact. I'm sure if I went and looked at the statistics, because I've never done it, but I'm sure, you know, the marriage rates are down.
Massively,
you don't need you don't need to be married to have a family.
I don't agree with you.
Point of view on it, but
I don't agree with you. Look, I'm not saying you can't have a family if you're not married. Of course you can.
Yeah.
But I do believe that it's an important part of the family unit.
So the big I do, the thing our parents and grandparents told us was the key to happiness, stability and true love. But in 2025, is that still true? Considering the fact that marriage is suffering a major decline, is marriage just an outdated tradition that people feel pressured into? On the one side, people say marriage is the foundation of society. It's about commitment, family and making a promise that means something. It gives security, legal rights and a strong base for raising kids. Some even argue that people in long-term marriages live healthier and happier lives. But on the other side, well, let's be honest, separation and divorce rates are high, wedding costs are insane, and a lot of people feel like marriage is just a piece of paper. They argue that you don't need a legal contract to prove your love, and in some cases, it actually complicates things when relationships break down. Interestingly, though, let's not forget the big debate we had in Ireland just last year, the family referendum in March 2024. It was meant to expand the legal definition of family beyond just marriage, but the country voted against it. So people want to continue protecting marriage, and that tells us a lot of people still do value marriage as a covenant. So is marriage still worth it, or are we just doing it because society tells us we should? Is it a beautiful commitment or just an expensive party followed by some legal headaches? Let us know what you think on WhatsApp 087 188 0008. I've got Jean on the line. Hi, Jean. How are you this evening?
I'm very good. Sorry to hear about Niall not being too good. But
thanks, Jean. I'll pass that on to him.
That's no problem. I think marriage actually is still positive. I think you should. I know what you say is it's only a piece of paper, somebody said. But I think it's an essential part of life.
Why do you think that, Jean? Why is it an essential part of life? What difference does it make?
Because
turn down the radio there, Jean.
Hang on.
Good
my
one.
My radio. Sorry.
Don't be silly, you're grand.
Why, can you get it back? Do you get it back to feed on my radio?
Yeah, I can hear us on your radio, yeah.
Never mind. No, I've got to be honest. It's a fact of life that to get married is you get married. But there's a lot of places that you can get married. My lads went over to Australia, and they got married.
Did they go over there just to get married, or they just happened to be over there?
And they got married on the beach.
Oh well, that sounds absolutely fabulous. But I mean, that must have been very expensive. Could people from here go? I mean, not everybody's going to be able to afford a flight, and that comes under the heading of it just being very expensive.
Oh, I agree. It is. It is very expensive. It all depends on how much on your standard of life is. If you can afford a big wedding, fair enough. Go ahead. But it's just the fact that I think it's. It's good to have proper marriage.
But why? I mean, even if you can't afford it, would the money not be better off? Would you not be better off spending the money on something else like a house or, you know, travel the world or, you know, invest it rather than spend out such massive amounts on weddings? Because even just a wedding at home now, the cost is absolutely astronomical. Would you not think that the money would just be better off well spent?
Well, if you love somebody and you want to do the proper thing, you're going to spend it on your wedding.
Well, why do you think it's the proper thing, though, Jean? Do you think people who aren't married aren't you know, are they any less? You know, are they not worth as much as people who are married?
Oh, no, I'm not saying, don't get me wrong. Everybody's different and everybody does their own thing.
Yeah.
But that's my own personal opinion. It's just the fact is that it's nice to have a marriage certificate. And like, as I say, if you love the two of them, if you love each other, you're going to do the proper thing.
Yeah, no, I hear what you're saying, Jean. Let me go to Bernie. Bernie, hi, how are you? Do you agree with what Jean's saying?
I do to some of it. I don't think it has to be an expensive thing. I think marriage to me is important. It's your journey in life and you make a commitment to another person, and it's not, and it gives you all the, you know, the basis of a relationship. And it's nothing worse than to be lonely at the end of your life and not having made that commitment or got to know somebody else on a different level and had a family. But it doesn't have to be all this expense. I mean, I've been to a few weddings, you know, in the last year, and the expense must have been astronomical. But that was the couple, I based it on the couple, they were able to afford that. Myself, personally, I couldn't afford it. I'm one of a large family, and I couldn't expect all my family to come. So I went off to Rome, myself, my husband and his mother, and off we went, and we got married very quietly. We arranged it. It cost the whole lot for 2 weeks, £1,000 at the time.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, that sounds lovely, and it really does sound nice, and you went off and you did it together just on your own and celebrated your love for each other. But I just want to ask, you know, do you think that marriage perpetuates traditional gender roles?
It's a bit long-winded. For me, basically, I feel marriage is a commitment between two people, man and to their love.
So you think it's equal? You think it's equal? You don't think that?
Yeah, I think it's an equal relationship and it's an equal partnership. Now, I know it's really hard in this current world. I'm glad I'm not looking for a new partner and trying to find my way and you know, in life, because I started as a young person, met my husband, and I fell in love with him, and I got to know him when I was very inexperienced in life myself. And we grew together as a person, as a human, as a unit. And we had our children and now have grandchildren. Now, my husband is no longer here. And I think I had my soulmate. And that is the only person I feel I could ever be committed to. I don't think there's anybody else out there for me. And I'm happy to live my life now. But I learned so much from that person about myself and life that I would never, ever be able to do that on my own.
I mean, it sounds perfect. Like, it really does sound lovely. And I'm sorry to hear that your other half passed away. With him passing away, obviously, you don't have to answer this, but did it make it easier with his passing, the fact that you were married, just from, you know, like a paperwork point of view, and, you know, the fact that you were married, did that make it easier to get his pension, that kind of thing?
No, it didn't make it any different. I still had to wait a long time and put the paper in. You know, there was a lot of issues at the end of his life that I had to address. And it was a sudden passing. So it took, you know, everything closed down. Everything shuts down when your partner passes. Right. Bank accounts, everything has to go through all that legalities. It's an awful experience to be grieving and trying to comfort your family. And then on top of that, have to face all these legal challenges, which is like bank accounts. You know, if they had any pensions or, you know, the disability allowance, all those things have to be stopped. And you're literally shut off. So it doesn't matter whether you're single, separated or divorced at the end of somebody's life, you still have to face the rigors of dealing with the person's assets afterwards.
And if you weren't married, though, would you have been entitled to to all of those things, to his pension and stuff like that? I'm not sure exactly how it works over here.
At the moment, currently, as far as I'm aware, once you've married and you can prove your marriage certificate that you were actually married, you are entitled to his next, you know, the widow's pension, say. But as I'm not sure concurrently if you are allowed, if you're only living together, I'm not sure of the legalities myself personally, so I wouldn't like to say.
Yeah, no, I'll just get Molly to fact check that for me, but I don't think that you are entitled if you're not married. I think there's a lot more hoops that you would have to go through to prove that you were, you know, reliant on each other. And that kind of thing. Let me just go to Billy there. Hi, Billy. How are you? Welcome to Nighttime
Hello,
Talk.
Hello, Adrian. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad.
So, AJ, I think it's an important institution still.
You do?
Yeah.
And why is that?
Well, it shows that you're committed to the other person, that you're taking that commitment, that you're, you know, standing up, you're making that legal commitment to the other person. That's... You're going to. I know not all marriages work out. I'm not naive in that front, but I think it's important because you're making that legal commitment with the religious out there. There's, you know, the religious it's standing in front of their God and making that commitment as well. So I think it's important. You stand in front of your family, your friends, and you commit to each other.
And do you think that, I mean, are you religious? Would it be, I don't know if you are married, Billy, but like if you have gotten married or if you were to get married, would you do it in a religious setting?
Not religious, not married, and if I was to do it, I wouldn't do it in a religious setting, no. But, you know, there's options for the heathens like myself out there now.
So what would you do then? Would you go down to the registry office or
Molly, I'm not planning a wedding right now, so I honestly don't know. And if I was, it would be a two-person discussion, so I would not know. But I think a civil ceremony, and I've been to some civil ceremonies, I think they're absolutely fine.
Yeah, no, I agree with that for sure. What do any of you guys actually think? Because this is becoming more and more common, is signing a prenuptial agreements. Because to me,
there's no basis for prenups in Irish law, though.
Is there not? Oh, okay.
No, as far as I'm aware, and I stand to be corrected, but I don't think prenuptial agreements are legal under Irish law.
But people still do enter into certain agreements, like there'll be, you know, you'll have something with your solicitor or whatever to just sort of say that what you came into the marriage with, you will leave with. And it is becoming more and more common for people to do. And I just think that defeats the whole purpose then.
I never signed that like that. God,
you know, it's a case. I think anything that you come into the marriage with, you know, if you go out with, but anything that you've had together in that marriage should be split equally.
Yeah. I just don't know if it's always quite so straightforward. So sorry, Bernie, I think that was you there. Yeah. So it is just becoming more and more common that people enter into agreements, and that wouldn't be something that you would have thought of, obviously, back then.
Not at all. But I mean, you stand and you take your vows. I mean, there is lovely ceremonies I know out in the Aran Islands, for instance, that do hand tying and Celtic, you know, services. But besides that, I wouldn't sign anything like that. It's a journey in life that you're taking with another person, and you're going to have all sorts of things come into your life when you get married to somebody and you're committed to somebody else. You go through the good times, the really bad times, the shit times, and times that you feel, why am I doing this? But there is a reason, and there's a backup, because you have each other and you have each other's back. And it's important to grow as a unit. And it doesn't matter what ceremony, what sign and papers. At the end of the day, you're looking, and both of you are signing up to care for each other in sickness, in health, in good times, in poor times, and you know, even at the side of the road when you're changing the wheel on the tire, you know, the simplest things are, you know, making a sandwich with a person on a journey. You know, you're making a commitment to another person, and you're experiencing what it's like to be with another person on an equal setting. And I don't think you get that anywhere else.
Yeah, I'm listening to what you're saying, and I don't see anything wrong with what you're saying at all. Some studies say that married couples live longer and they're happier. I mean, I don't know if that's the case. I don't know if that's more for the men rather than the women.
I'm in trouble then, AJ. just on the prenup, AJ, just one more thing on that. If you're entering into a prenup at the start of a marriage, you're kind of admitting defeat before you before you go into the marriage, aren't you?
That's what I feel by those kind of things, because I have friends. I know that what you've said, that it doesn't have any legal basis here in Ireland, but I do have friends that have entered into agreements and they have signed things before they've gotten married. And I've just kind of
you're kind of saying like we're going to get to a point where we need to engage this. We mightn't, you know, you've already mentally prepared yourself for the end of your marriage if you enter into a prenup at the start.
Yeah, and I mean, it's so common now. You see it certainly in the States, and especially with people who are in the public eye, they're all signing prenups, and it's just, what's the point? And they actually are the ones, they do seem to get divorced quite commonly. I know that might be a sweeping generalisation, but you're hearing of divorces all the time, you know, with people who are in the spotlight. I'm just going to go to Paul. Hi, Paul. How are you?
How are you doing?
So what do you think? Marriage?
Look, I'm mixed on it. As a bloke, I don't care about it. I really don't. I don't think we should need a bit of paper to say who we love, when we love, who we should live with, all that shit. I don't care for it. But as for my partner, she wants to get married. Mm-hmm. So I think for her, if you truly want to be with this person, you're going to do it for her. So I've been with her for 15 years and I've been doing all of it for the last 15 years. So what difference is it going to make if we get married, you know?
But that's the thing, Paul. That's what people are saying. What difference does it make? So are you only doing it for your partner?
It makes no difference for me, but I'm going to do it for her. But see, the reason we haven't done it, the reason I haven't done it, is because you get penalised in this country when you're married.
Okay, true. So talk to me a bit about that. So what's the key?
You lose, as as a married couple, you lose rights. Like my mother now is long-term sickness. And she's not entitled to any help off the state, no medical card, no nothing. She's not entitled to any of it because of what my father earns.
And if they weren't married, she would be entitled to those things.
Yeah, exactly. She'd be entitled to all of it. Even if they were to get a divorce tomorrow, because they're still living in the one household, she's still not entitled to anything.
You see,
like, that's crazy, that is.
That is crazy. That's one of the things that I was looking at today when I was sort of just having a look at this topic. Why would you want to do that then?
There's another thing that I despise about marriages. Why should I pay 20, 30 grand to rent out a room for thousands of people that I don't know to come and sit at my wedding and eat off me and drink off me when I can take that 20, 30 grand, go abroad, take the people that I care about with me, and then take the rest of the money that I don't spend and take a long honeymoon with the partner that I want to spend the rest of my life with.
Yeah, so Bernie, you went away to Rome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't have to do the expensive one. You don't have to do that. 30,000. No. If you don't have it, you don't have it. Think of something simpler.
No, regardless if I did, I didn't have it. I don't see the concept of why people even do that. The concept of that is just baffling to me. Why am I paying for strangers to come to my wedding when I don't know these people? They're only coming for a plus one or whoever it is that they're coming with because they know they're going to get a few drinks, they know they're going to get a meal, they know they're going to have a bit of a good time, and it's all off out of my pocket. Now, people say, oh, well, you're going to get that back in presents and whatever. That's irrelevant. I don't want presents. I couldn't care about presents. I'm not getting married to get presents. I'm getting married because I want to be with the one that I want to be with.
Paul, is it?
Paul, those people
that are going to come to the wedding and, you know, they're going to pay for, I'm assuming they're your friends, they're your family.
If I want to get married, as I said, I'm going to take my friends and family, the close ones that I want. Whoever's on the outside of that, I don't want them. I don't care about them. They're only coming because they know someone are with. Yeah, you know what I mean. I'm not booking out a big bleeding match.
It's your wedding and it's your partner's wedding. Yeah. Like you're completely entitled to do whatever you want.
I went to a wedding there many, many moons ago. I think it was about 18 or 19 at the time. I'm in my late 30s now. I only went to that wedding because I was friends with the girl's granny's grandson. You know what I mean? Like, it was literally just because this couple, granny was her friend was gone, then the whole family was gone, and then I got asked to go, and I didn't know anybody, and I still went.
That's you at 19, 20 years later or so. Would you still go to that wedding today?
Not a chance, would I?
You see,
not a blade
of you've matured in your opinion. Like that's allowed as well. But like, it's, you know, if someone's willing to pay for you to go to the wedding, like, and you know, I wouldn't go to a wedding of someone I don't know because I feel awkward.
I was young. I only went with a friend of mine just because I was from the blade. There, we had nothing to do. But as I said, now if I was to ask today, I'd be like, not a blade chance.
Sorry, Bernie, did you want to say something there just before I go to the ads?
Well, it's making me laugh that he's paying for the people, strangers, to go to his own wedding. But sure, it would be his wedding. He doesn't have to invite strangers, just his immediate family. It might only be a sister or brother. It doesn't have to be 30 blank strangers coming that he doesn't want them there. You don't have to have anyone there that you don't want. Just your own immediate friends and family. That's it.
That's all.
I wouldn't have a wedding in Ireland. I wouldn't have a wedding in Ireland. No matter if someone paid for the wedding for me to have it here, I wouldn't have it here.
So what are you going to do, Paul? Have you got plans in place?
I said when I choose to tie the knot with my partner, when we have our heads screwed on and we have the finances to do what we want and we don't have to worry about having a mortgage or any of that shit, when all that is done, which I'm planning to move out of here anyway with my kids, when I get a chance to. I'm taking the kids and all, I'm going to move to Spain or Germany or something just to get out of here because here is a dead book. I'm mid-30s and I still can't afford a mortgage. We are scraping by for a mortgage. And people are, and they want us to have weddings here.
But even if you have a wedding here and you get married, you still get penalised and you're going for a mortgage. Like, it just doesn't make sense. And none of this, none of that, none of the wedding in this country makes any sense at all. Getting married in this country is you're shooting yourself in the foot.
In what way? What do you mean you're shooting yourself in the foot? Is in because of the cost?
Yeah. Not even because of everything. Because of everything. Because of everything in this country. It's too expensive. That's one. The limitations that you have as a couple is another. The penalisation that you get is another. Like, it's just everything about this country is like, it's just gone down to the dogs. Going back 20, 30 years ago, you could get married and have a life. Now you can't have anything because you get penalised for it.
We're asking, do you think marriage is still relevant in today's world? Now, everybody that we've had on so far is saying that marriage is necessary. It's great. It shows you're committed, all of that sort of thing. If anybody has a differing opinion, do get in touch on WhatsApp 087 188 0008. I'm going to go to Dave. Hi, Dave. How are you?
What's the crack?
Not much. So what do you think? Is marriage still relevant in today's world?
Well, no, I just wanted to text it in with a bit of a cautionary tale for those people out there who might be in a long-term relationship. But it's kind of more particularly for the men. If your partner passes away, you have very little legal rights to your own children.
That's if you're not married.
So, you know, that was kind of my own little take on it. Like, I know a lot of men are like, you know, it doesn't really bother me, blah, 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 blah. But at the same time, God forbid, if there's an accident or someone gets sick, sorry, my throat. Your missus's family technically have more legal rights to your own children than you do. So, you know, it's kind of a bit of food for thought in that regard.
I mean, that is a very good reason to get married if you're with somebody and you have children, for sure. Because that would be, you know, cause no end of trouble, I'm sure.
No, 100%.
And then there's the thing as well of not being entitled to pensions and stuff like that. If you're with somebody for a very long time, but you're not actually married, are you going to be entitled to their pensions?
Yeah, no, 100%. I mean, I get the widow's pension, and I'm telling you, it makes all the difference. Like, mm-hmm. You know, so I mean, being locked out of stuff like that. I mean, it'd be nice if they brought in something that, you know, if you're together for 20 years and someone passes away, you know, something equivalent to the widow's pension. I doubt I could see that happening, really, to be honest with you. But at the same time, there's lots of little things I didn't think of and never would have realized that if you're not married, a lot of things are a lot harder. Bank accounts, credit union accounts, the biggest one is the kids, widow's pension. Because I can tell you right now, if I wasn't getting a widow's pension on top of my wages, we would be finding it very hard to survive right now.
Yeah, no, I can totally imagine that, Dave. Sorry, Billy, did you want to come in there?
Am I wrong in saying there was a case in the courts with someone in Galway last year about the widow's pension?
There was a case, and it went to the High Court.
Yeah. After they were unmarried. I think that little loophole...
Well, no, what happened there was they were engaged and they mm-hmm. had intended on getting married, but unfortunately she contracted COVID while she was sick with cancer and then passed away. But I don't really think, like, I know it kind of sets a bit of a precedent, but at the same time, like, they were engaged with the intent. That's much different than two people who are just together for 15, 20 years.
But you see, if the point I'm making, Dave, is if someone is in a common law relationship and never gets engaged, going by that precedent, they should still be entitled to the widow's pension
on that basis. I mean, yeah, look, I agree with you in theory, but unfortunately the problem here is you're coming up against the Department of Social Protection, and I was applying for stuff that I was entitled to just based off my own PRSI, and the hoops I had to jump through, and I had to get TD before I actually got it. So, yeah, you mm-hmm. probably should get it, but at the same time, when you're dealing with these people,
you shouldn't have to go to the High Court.
It shouldn't. No, it really shouldn't. I mean, if you're together with someone for 15 years and it looks like you've every intention of staying together and you're left widowed with kids, you should be able to get it. If it's not the widow's pension, call it surviving partner's pension or some other bullshit fucking thing you can come up with. But
I think
it should be equivalent to the same
Dave,
thing.
I think one of the reasons is that if somebody passes away, and then let's say a man passed away and he had children with a few partners, all of those partners would then try to go and claim the widow's pension or whatever it is, because they'd be like, oh, well, look, we have kids together, we were together, and there'd be no proof. So the fact of the matter is that marriage is proof that you were together, and so you were together.
I understand that behind it, all right, for sure.
Because a widow is a woman or man who has lost a spouse by death and has not remarried. So obviously the word widow comes from the word you had to be married to become a widow.
Yeah, you're not classified as a widow or a widower if you weren't actually married. So there is actually no name for somebody who loses a partner and is not married. There's no name. There's no name for that.
There isn't, no.
So yeah, so in that respect, I mean, it makes perfect sense, and marriage makes perfect sense, and I'd be so like, yeah, everybody should go and get married. But there's lots of other reasons that people are saying to not get married, like Paul, the caller that was on, saying about his mother is not entitled to any sickness because her husband is earning too much money, and you know, so there's things around that maybe would discourage people from getting married.
But that's a social welfare or department of as they said, it's a Department of Social Protection issue rather than an issue with the institution of marriage.
But it's reasons why people do or do not or think that it's worth it or it's not worth it, you know. And then, I mean, the fact...
Well, it depends on the...
No, sorry, go ahead, Bernie.
It depends on the illness. If somebody's in a long-term illness and they're married, you know, the way they might need a stair lift or all those things, they're all means-tested when you're married.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're all means-tested when you're not married, but it's to do with the illness, maybe. Maybe a cancer, they should get a medical card, maybe they're not entitled. You know, all these things they're trying to improve at the moment in the HSE, you know, that it's available across the board for a sick, you know, serious illness. Benefits for everybody and not means test them.
I wonder, is that something then that will improve? There's another thing as well, you know, looking at one in three marriages ending in divorce, that's sort of worldwide. I don't know what the statistic is here. But I mean, are people just setting themselves up for failure by getting married? Is it putting more pressure on people?
Jesus, that's a very cynical way.
Into a marriage.
No one enters in hoping to fail, I think is what you were going to say, Dave.
That was it, yeah. Like, you don't stand at the altar going, right, what you give us? 6 months, 12 months, 18 months? You know, how much are we putting on this? Do you know, like, I do think...
You might have some cynical friends in the audience burden. Will do that, but you shouldn't.
But so I think finance, like, money is a massive problem. Like, a lot of people, like... We got married 5 days before Michelle passed away in the hospital. It's not exactly how we had planned on doing it. But at the same time, when we were actually planning on getting married, our intentions was register office with our nearest, like literally just immediate family, and then rent out a hotel ballroom or whatever somewhere and have a massive hoodie. But what I see with people like her brother, his wedding cost €35,000. And the best crack that was had was in the pub the next day in our village, and he wasn't even there. Do you know? And I see it. It's a lot of it's keeping up with the Joneses. A lot of it is like 30,000, 40,000, 50,000. A lot of people put 100 euros in the card, 100 euros in the card. That doesn't even cover the meal for someone anymore. A lot of hotels, they're like, right, well, you're paying for 200 guests. And you're like, well, we don't have 200 guests. They're like, well, tough shit, you're paying for 200 anyway. So, like, a lot of people are borrowing money and getting, you know, like, all wrapped up in loans and debt. As you're starting off your life as a married couple.
I mean, that's just crazy. And I think, Dave, as well, the bigger they have more fun in the pub. I've been to big, huge weddings and they've been just all drawn out and you don't even feel like you've spoken to the couple or anything like that. And the smaller, more intimate weddings are so much better.
I would rather get a summons in the post than a wedding invitation, to be honest with you.
That's the same. Yeah, that's true.
You know, I'd rather someone say, hey, I'm getting married. And I'd be like, oh, shit. And they're like, do you want to come to the afters? I'd be, grand, no matters. You're going to have to save me about €160 already. All I have
That's
to
it. We did do a topic on this before. The amount of money you're expected to give to someone. I think it's definitely in the like 400, 500 quid now you're expected to give when you go to a wedding.
What type of weddings are you going to?
We usually for friends.
No, it is. It is, Billy. It is. People. Yeah.
For us. Like for if it's a family member, you can keep that a bit extra. For a friend, it's about 100 euros a head. I had a friend's wedding there in October, and just to have a bit of crack with him, I got 100 euro, but a 5 euro note, and I folded them up all really, really small and put them in the card. So when they were opening the card for me, they were probably thinking, geez, this thing is packed with money.
And it was just the one note.
Yeah, I got a Snapchat the next day going, thanks a lot, you prick.
Just stay there with me, guys. I'm going to go to Mark. Hi, Mark. How are you?
Hi, how are you going? I've just listened to the show there of Finished Work. And I just listened to some of the guys there in the background. There's one particular guy who was like more about the money and everything else than the whole intimate and the whole point of marriage is like a commitment. So like me and my partner, or my wife now, we were together for like 20 years before we got married. And it wasn't got to do with like money, and it wasn't got to do with anything like that. It was just the point of, you know, we had loads of things going on in our lives at the moment, at that moment. And there's lots of things going on with our children at the time as well. Like I have a child with special needs, and there's a lot of things that accumulate to, you know, like them kind of, you know, special needs that are needed and things like that. So it wasn't the case of that. But me and my wife, we decided to get married. It wasn't on the basis of, you know, it's going to be 30,000 or it's going to be in. We got married in Thurles in Tipperary, in the Anor Hotel. The staff there were great. You know, everybody was happy enough. We only invited the people that we actually wanted there. We didn't invite people like cousins and friends that we haven't
extended
seen in 20
years. Family and, you know, friends of friends and all that, yeah.
Exactly. So we met an intimate you know, with my wife and myself and her family and my family. And the thing about it was, and there's a couple of things, like even with the photographers and stuff like that, there was moments that are captured in that day that are forever memories for every one of us. Like, for instance, like my mother is in her her 70s. And I have three brothers and three sisters. Like some of my brothers and sisters aren't on talking terms. And it's in every family, right?
Yeah.
But there was one particular picture that we got if you're ever in the Anor Hotel in Tipperary, there's a chair they have out there, and there's a picture of me and my whole family, and we haven't had a picture like that since we were since my brother was 12 at the time. He's in his 50s now, so there wasn't a picture that would
that's such a good point. You know, it is an occasion to bring people, you know, together, and you know, yeah, an opportunity, especially for people who aren't like talking.
Yeah, but even the fact that there was a lot of things going on, like internally that I didn't know. Like, you know, my family had kind of made up. Like, there was a point in that day where we felt that everything was okay. You know, everybody was all right with everybody, and that was the point. It was the point of bringing everybody together. I was the youngest son, so I was the last one to get married. All my brothers and my sisters are married. I was the youngest son, so my mother was in her 70s. As I said, like, you know, there was a lot of reasons to why we got married at that point, but. One of the main reasons was I wanted my mother, and my wife wanted my mother, and she wanted also her mother to for them to witness us getting married, for the appreciation of love we had together. We've four children together. You know, we have our house, we have our jobs, we have everything. But that's all, you know, that kind of lifestyle and, you know, working this, that and the other, and that's grand, yeah. You come home to your family, you come home to your wife, you come home to your husband. You know, these things are important. Like,
but before you got married, you had all those things anyway. So, I mean, I know you had a lovely day and everything like that, but has it made any difference to your lives afterwards?
Absolutely not. It's the same. Exact same. It's only a piece of paper, really. You know, me and my wife, we can see to each other when we had our first child. We'd never said that we were going to be anything else but together. You know,
so you made the commitment already, you know, essentially.
We had made the commitment. It was just there is some points that guys made there about the whole, you know, if you're with a person for a long time, that like the family, the partners, like the wife's family, would have more rights than the kids. Like that is a case, and there's something in that needs to change. And also, like, you know, as you said as well about people having multiple kids with different partners. like, but that wouldn't work with, you know, if you were going for like some sort of welfare payment in relation to a death of a father or a mother or whatever it would be.
Yeah.
Like, it's common sense. Look, if you're going to have children, you know what I mean, and you're going to get married and you're going to have all these things, you know, it's really down to the point of individuality. So it's what you and your partner want for yourselves, but also for the family. It's not about every person that's coming to the wedding. It's not about anybody. It's not about anybody. It's about you and your wife or you and your husband. That's all it's about. You know, that day that we had, it was last year to the 2024, we're only a year into the marriage at the moment. But, like, we've been married for 20 years. We've been together for 20 years.
Essentially,
it's like a piece of paper didn't change it. Like,
just going back to in relation to like a widow's pension or whatever, we just received a message in saying that it's important that people know about this. I am an administrator in a widow's social group, and I know that a lot are missing out on the widow's pension because they were never married. So it is very important, and especially if you have kids. And it's like, I'm you know, from having this conversation, like, I'm definitely seeing the value in getting married. And then from what Mark said, you know, you can have a lovely day and you can bring family together. What Bernie said, she went off to Rome. She just did it with her partner. You know, there was nobody else there. There are lots of other ways to do it. And there are obviously some very important reasons to have the marriage certificate, especially when there's kids involved. I've got Elizabeth on the line, and it says on my screen that you're a young practicing Catholic and you fully intend on getting married.
Yeah, so look, I just, when I was listening to it coming home, ironically enough, on my way home from my prayer meeting, and I know a lot of people who have entered into civil marriages and are in civil partnerships, and I'm not disrespecting anyone, but it's just, as a practicing Catholic, for me, marriage is a religious institution for my life, and when I do hope to one day get married, and when I do, I would hope to do it in the church. Now, it doesn't have to be a big sermon, because someone was saying again about having people. My father's best friend, he was my father's best man. For his marriage, he brought his wife, their two parents, and they went to England, and that was their wedding, and that was all they had. So it doesn't have to be big. You don't need 300-400 people built that you're going to need for years. But for me, because it's about, like the other man was there a minute ago, it's about you, and for me, my husband, to be whoever he is, you know, and getting that institution blessed before God, but whoever you want to be there, that's what it's about for me, and committing, making that commitment. Like I say, I'm not saying anything against civil ceremonies. If that's the right decision for people, look, you do whatever you want. But for me, the religious aspect makes marriage very relevant.
Okay, and yeah, I mean, it is very important in the Catholic Church, and obviously, like you said, you're very religious. But I mean, do you think that, you know, I know it's very important in the Catholic Church, but do you think that it still applies to life now, the way it is in 2025? Things are just different now. People don't have time. People don't have the money. People are just busier. I mean, even our last caller, Mark, was saying that he was so busy. He was with his partner for 20 years before they got married because he was busy. They had a family and, you know, they had their house, everything like that. Do you think it's still relevant?
I think it is, for the same reason that civil ceremonies might be relevant to some people, because if it's important to someone, it should be relevant to society.
Yeah, I mean, that is a very good point.
I'm not arguing that it's not ridiculously expensive, because it absolutely is. You've got the dress and the flowers and the makeup and the hair, and that's just the girls.
Because I personally think, if you go small, I still think it's ridiculously expensive. Even if you're trying to cut all the corners, I still think it's massively expensive, and I think that needs to change, you know?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. But like, if we're talking about costs that need to change, I paid €600 for my car insurance this year.
Oh, stop.
Like, and that was that was the cheapest quote by €200. Like, I'm not saying that it's not ridiculously expensive, because it can be, and it is something. My own parents, they were together for 8 years, and they saved for 8 years. Now, they saved for 8 years, and they did it sort of when they were married. They had their house fully paid for, and they got married and had everything sorted. But they still saved for 8 years before they moved in together and did everything.
You see, that's what I think is what's stopping a lot of couples from getting married as early as they used to, because it is just so expensive, and there is other more important things to pay for first, like you say, a house and stuff like that. I just want to ask Billy, do you think that religion has, you know, do you think that the religious aspect of it is important, or is that something that you wouldn't go for yourself?
doesn't bother me. And Elizabeth, I'm a card carrying heathen, so I apologise for the question I'm about to ask. But do you, as someone who is religious, would you be happier to see civil ceremonies where non-religious people will get married in those civil ceremonies than non-religious people going to the church and, you know, just having their day out in the church?
It's a very interesting question, and honestly, I think you'd probably be better getting someone. I'm practicing, but I didn't study theology, so I'll admit I can't give you all the ins and outs of it. I will admit that as a Catholic, as far as I'm aware, there is the whole rule from the Catholic Church that in order to receive communion, you have to be part of the Catholic Church because there's the real presence and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I've never, like, I'm going to be honest here now, I've never been to a civil ceremony. I was invited to one, but as it happened, it coincided with my holiday and I couldn't make it. But from any religious marriage I've been to, it has been a full proper Mass. And there's no problem with people coming to Mass, but it's the communion aspect is the problem. So to come back to your question, if people want their day out in the church, if they're baptised and they have the desire to have God bless their marriage, go for it. There's no such thing as getting too many things blessed. If you decide that you're not religious and you don't believe in it and you don't want it, save your money, save your time, and do it whatever way suits you.
But I think a lot of people,
what you're doing it for.
A lot of people do get married in churches because of just, you know, it's what they saw before, it's what they grew up with, and they're like, oh, I'm going to get married in a church. But they're not necessarily religious or practicing, but they will still be able to get married in a church because they've been christened.
Yeah, and but like, for a lot of people as well, I think there's an important thing here, and it's about turning this into a whole religious debate, because again, I've not been against people who don't desire church marriage or whatever, like, and not just because obviously I'm Catholic, but I know obviously there's a lot of other religions out there and they would also have their own religious ceremonies. So there's a lot of people, if people don't desire the religious ceremony, that's whatever. But for a lot of people, they might not be fully practicing, but there might be some little kernel of belief there and they might believe that this is the proper way. And obviously, as a practicing Catholic, I would like to see everyone get their marriage blessed by God, because for me, God is very real. That's beside the point. It's my only point here is to say that whilst there might be a lot of people now who don't believe in like religious marriages or believe in marriage as an institution, I just wanted to highlight that there are still people out there who do. And as long as it's relevant to some portion of society, should it not be considered relevant to the whole? Are we, like, we're not a society that says it's only important to a few people, most people, so it doesn't matter if it's not important. If it is important to only a minority, the rest of us don't care, so let's not do it. Should we not care about each other and care about what's important to each other?
Okay. I mean, I don't know. It has people getting married in churches, I wonder, have those numbers declined in recent years?
And it probably more, have.
I
would doubt they have.
Oh, you would doubt it? Because I going to the registry office and then they're going to a nice place after, you know?
So I think at the last five weddings I was at, one of them was a civil ceremony.
Really? That's interesting. Yeah, it's just different, I suppose, just like with different friends and different friend groups and stuff like that. Yeah, it is interesting. Because, yeah, the last wedding that I went to in a church was about 12 years ago.
12 years?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I hadn't even, to be honest,
married in a church as well. So me and my wife, we got married in a church. So... And like any of the weddings we were like invited to over the last decade or so, like I only ever experienced one civil marriage, and that was my brother. Boy, he was married previously, like in the church, and the way they have the rule in the church, like it's for life and that's it, like in the eyes of God, like. But
yeah.
He went for the civil marriage with his second wife, and like, look, it's not a point of like, you know. Ceremony versus church.
Absolutely. Like, it's about marriage as an institution, whether it's like whether it's for a religious ceremony or not. I believe, and I will admit I only kind of tuned in halfway through this discussion, but it's about whether marriage itself, whether that's relevant versus just civil partnership for the rest of your life, if I'm correct.
Absolutely. Like, I believe, I'm within a Catholic, I did go to Mass regularly, and I do bring my children, and, like, we do celebrate, like, the, as any Catholic would, like, in any kind of situation where a Catholic event comes up or whatever. But I'm not a bookworm when it comes to the Bible or anything like that. I wouldn't base my life outcomes on just religious outcomes. Me and my wife are completely separate in ways of thinking about religious things. You know, like, she'd be probably more than I would be. You know, so like it wouldn't be a case of that. But my point being is that, you know, like, if you're going to get married, I don't think, like, no matter what it is, I think it's got to do with the unity. The thing with the Catholic Church about the unity, yeah. I think that stands even if it is a civil marriage, because it is a case where we're all human beings. We're all going to make mistakes, you know, and it's based, a relationship consists of, you know, getting things wrong and hopefully fixing them, you know, or, you know, coming to some kind of conclusion and fixing them, you know, like, and I think, like, the basis for the legal aspect of that, like, the likes of that, like, I mean, like, if I'm having problems, I know I have a support channel in my church to go and speak about, because, like, it's nothing they haven't heard before. You know, like, where, you know, if you go to a civil marriage, you don't have any kind of back, you know, not even backup, but, like, you know, people to go to speak to about these things, because it's obviously happened in the history of Catholicism, of certain things with husbands and wives, whatever it would be, you know, and whatever aspect it would be of, you know, if the husband's drinking too much, or if he, or, you know, the wife is, you know, not doing her, you know, her
whatever
looking after the children,
or
whatever the case would be, you know, like, it would be a case where, you know, you would have that voice, that person, that mediator, that can basically help you through something,
there are non-religious mediators out there as well. In fairness.
True, yeah, but I understand that.
There's marriage counsellors, and there's people that you can go to. And just to highlight one thing you said, there are two types of marriage. There is the sacrament of marriage, the religious sacrament of marriage, and there is the legal institution of marriage. So the two of them, you know, when you get married in Ireland, you go to the registry office, whether you're going to go to the church or not, and you do the legal marriage, and then you go to the church and do the sacrament of marriage. So they're two separate things.
Yeah, like, I know of people that got married in other countries, and they've, you know, they've done the registry thing, and they've came back then, and they got married in the church, because it was some way of, I don't know why people do that, but I've heard of some people, you know, they would go to a country, they would get the register, because I don't think it works the same way, because I know with me and my partner, like, if we wanted, because I was from a different church, we had to go through the whole rigmarole of getting the letter of freedom so I could get married in Thurles, because I'm not from that area, if you know what I mean. So, like, I don't know how it works from that aspect of, you know, going from one thing to another. Like, if you're getting married in another country, how would that correlate with the church that you're associated with? Like, I don't get that side of it, but I know that, like, you know, people going overseas and they're getting married, and I would imagine most of them are civil marriages. They're not a church wedding, for instance. Like,
so a lot of people who go abroad, Mark, they would go abroad and have, like, a ceremony, and then they would either do it before or after, come to, like, the registry office over here and go and register the marriage.
Okay, all right, I didn't know that. Yeah, so okay.
Yeah. Because that's what I know, loads of people that have done that as well, because a lot of people I know have gone abroad. But I've just received a message in from a listener there saying that marriage is not an outdated tradition or a wedding. Marriage is a solemn oath to commitment between a man and a woman, along with a legal and state recognised status. Unfortunately, sometimes the marriage goes wrong, and of course there are couples who live very happy lives without that commitment and legal status. That does not undermine the principle and the value of that commitment, because for people who value the oath of commitment, the commitment reinforces the strength, the bond formed between that man and woman. So on that note, we're going to leave that there. Thank you to everybody for getting involved. It seems that the majority of our listeners don't think that marriages are a thing of the past, and that it's an outdated tradition. So it was really refreshing to hear that actually it's still quite an important thing.
Now, real people, real opinions, Nighttime Talk.
Ireland's classic hits radio.